Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, page 1293 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading verses 9 through 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 18, page 1293. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read the verses responsively. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And listen now to the text verse, verse 15. And deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And let's pray.
Some of you are in your senior years. I mean, I'm not talking about the best years of our lives, club. But there are some of you this morning who are 80, 85, 90, 95. And you're afraid, you fear the coming of death. Death, by nature, would seem to be a bit closer to you this morning than it would to me. We do not know if that's true. But some of you senior citizens this morning are afraid to die. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like nothing better this morning than to take the sting of death and the fear of death away from the dear, sweet people who've lived for years. I want my mother this morning, by the time I get through, I want her to look forward to dying. I mean that. I want her not to be afraid. And I want Aunt Lou not to be afraid. And these other dear ladies, Mrs. Jeffries and others, I want you this morning, and others of you, I want you to look death in the face and say this morning, well, I'm going to die. And I don't know all about death, but I'm not going to be afraid anymore. Others of you are bedfellows with a disease that human beings have declared to be terminal. There are folks this morning, I know at least a dozen folks in this room this morning, who have what the doctors have called terminal cancer. You know what I'd like to do today? I'd like for you to walk out this building and not be afraid. I'd like for you to say, well, blessed be God, death is going to be an exciting thing for me. I'd like to be able to help this morning. God knows I would. My heart goes out to you, and I'd like to help you. Then others by nature are fearful souls. William Cowper said, he said in his work on invalids, he said, far happier are the dead, methinks, than they who look for death and fear it every day. Now I guess as we get older, we fret about the future more. I know I, several years ago, I started checking the obituaries every day. And one of the first things I look at now is the obituaries to see how many folks over 53 have died and how many under 53 have died. And I'm sure that many of you are faithful obituaries, and you've traded Mutton Jeff for the obituary column a long time ago, such as I. But I want this morning, even as, you know, I was thinking, Jesus didn't want, and by the way, as we get older, we sometimes maybe lose our fear of death, but we're afraid of what would happen to those whom we love once we die. Now, that's the Apostle Paul said that. He said, it's more needful for you that I remain. But he said, I have a desire to depart, which is far better. He said, if he said one place, he said, absent from the body and present with the Lord. I think that's 2 Corinthians 5:8. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. But Paul was concerned about those. I fret sometimes if I get a little pain in the chest. I fret sometimes about you. I sort of have a strange idea that many of you folks need me. And I have an idea that maybe I'm needed around here a little bit. And I fret sometimes what would happen to the church, what would happen to the schools and so forth if something should happen. Ushers, do your job back here, please, now. I fret what would happen to the family, what would happen to my loved ones and so forth, what would happen to friends and so forth. You know, I think last night I was reading. I never had thought of this in my life before, but I read along. And you know, Jesus, when he died, he folded his clothes and left them in the grave, but that isn't all. Did you notice he also left the napkin there? And I got thinking, wonder why he left the napkin? Well, he knew that somebody was going to cry because he died. And so he left a handkerchief there in the grave, all folded, so those that followed would have something on which they could wipe their tears. And even Jesus was concerned. He said, he got the disciples together, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. For not so I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I am. Yet Jesus has taken away the sting of death. Death is not death to the believer. Didn't our Lord say, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die? Does that mean your body won't quit breathing? No, it just means you won't die. Does that mean you won't take you out and put your body in the grave someday? Doesn't mean that at all. It just means you won't die. It means, David said it. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David didn't say, though I walk through the valley of death, because David didn't plan to die. He walked through a shadow of death. It looked like death. It sounded like death. It may even have smelled like death. And it seemed like death. But David said, I won't die. Why? Because he that liveth and believeth in Jesus shall never die. Ah, one of these days you may take my body and put it in a box and put it here in the front, but I'll not be dead. One of these days you may come by and wipe a tear. One of you, two of you may come by and say, finally got what it deserves, but I won't die. Dr. Rice tells a story about the fellow who died, and the preacher's having the funeral, and the family was here, and they were all crying, and Dr. Rice said, don't cry. This is not your husband. This is not him. He's in heaven. This is just the shell. The nut has gone. And so, I may look dead, but I won't be dead. I may not be able to talk, but I won't be dead. Why? Because I live. And I believe in Jesus. And the Bible said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. It's a shadow. Looks like death, but it's not death. Now let me give you several things. First, I want you to remember that Jesus meets every one of his own when they die. I've talked to three people in my lifetime who have died, been declared clinically dead, and brought back to life. And all three of them said that the minute that they left this earth, the first face they saw was the face of Jesus. Don't you recall when Stephen was stoned to death outside the walls of Jerusalem? Don't you recall how that Stephen looked up and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God? One time a fellow said, well, that he didn't see it right, because the Bible says that when Jesus finished the work of Calvary, he ascended to the Father and sat down at the right hand of the Father, the throne of God. And he sat down there. And Stephen said he saw him standing. Stephen didn't really see Jesus, because Jesus, when he finished his work, sat down. But one old saint said, oh, no. Said he did sit down, but when he saw Stephen coming home, he stood up to welcome Stephen home. Listen, beloved, oh, aged friend, don't be afraid to die. That's when you get to see Jesus. Every morning when I wake up, and you've heard me say this so often, I look out the window wherever I am. I look up to the sky and say, Jesus, I'd love to see you today. Oh, think of it, Mr. Walker that sat back there. He's with Jesus today. I mean, the moment that on the operating table the doctors realized they could do nothing to save his life, the minute that they pounded his chest and tried to bring life and keep life, that very minute. Jesus came and said to Mr. Walker, come on. And the Lord Jesus met him. 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now look, I leave every Monday morning. Now listen carefully. I leave every Monday morning. I hate to leave. Good night. I've traveled. Every Monday I fly somewhere. I'll be flying tomorrow to Flint, Michigan, and I flew last Monday to Tallahassee, Florida, and then next Monday I'll be flying where? I think it's maybe Tampa. I'm not sure. Maybe it's Pasco, Washington. I'm not sure where I'm going. But I fly. And I hate to leave. Oh, I hate to leave. I get to the airport, and I feel like I'm leaving everything that's dear to me and going out in the darkness somewhere, you know. It's not so bad. Because when I walked out to preach in Tallahassee, Florida last Monday night, pastor said, we're glad to have Dr. Jack Hiles with us. And he said some nice lies about me and introduced me. And I stood up to speak. And lonesome. And then I heard a bunch of people say, that's my preacher! Looked over here, and a bunch of our folks used to be members of our church had driven up from Jacksonville, Florida. And there was Laurie Abercrombie, and there was Marguerite Tunis, and there were others, it didn't make it so bad because somebody was there to meet me. I was speaking about 2,000 people, I guess, to a giant banquet in the Sheraton Hotel in Orlando, Florida, at noon on Friday. And I walked in and felt sort of, you know how you feel. You walk in, you're going to be the speaker, and all those people there, and walk in by yourself, wonder who's going to say welcome. And I sat down. and Dr. Al Janney beside me said, Dr. Al, a table of folks over here, they sure are happy. I looked over there, and there's a whole table of former Hiles Anderson College students. They're teaching down in Florida in schools down there, and they were sitting over there, and they were waving at me like that. And I had a bunch of little love notes they had written me, and I read them while I ate. It's not going to be so bad, Mother. You got two children down here. You're just going to trade them for the two you got up there. That's not so bad, trading Earlene and me for Hazel and Loreen. That's a pretty good deal. I know you'll miss me a great deal, but that's not a bad deal. And, Mother, you're gonna trade no brothers down here for two brothers up there. And you're going to trade no sisters down here for one sister up there. And you're going to trade no parents down here for a mom and dad up there. I can't quite see what's so bad about that. I mean, if you just stop and realize that, listen, the moment you die, it's not some lonely, dark channel or dark cave. No, sir. I've seen too many people put their head right there in the bend of my arm and go to heaven. I've seen too many of them. I've seen mothers say, there's my baby, there's my baby, there's my baby. I've seen husbands say, there's my wife, she's coming to meet me. I've seen wives say, there's my husband. I've seen brothers and sisters say, hello, brother, hello, sister. And I've seen hundreds of people and heard hundreds of people say, I see Jesus. That's not so bad. You don't have to worry about that a great deal. I heard somebody threatened Dr. Rice one time he was going to kill him. Dr. Rice said, you can't scare me with going to heaven. And it ought not to scare you either. People are there. I was out at the airport the other day, and I saw somebody saying goodbye. I saw a dear lady saying goodbye to what was her, I thought it was her husband. She's up in years. I guess she must have been 53. And she's up in years, and she's saying goodbye. And oh, they wept and wept, and they hugged and kissed, and he was chewing tobacco, and I thought, I'd hate to kiss that mouth. Good night. But she didn't hate to, and they hugged, and she got on the plane, and she wiped her eyes, and she was crying, and her heart was broken. But we flew to another state, and she got off the airport at the other state, and guess what she saw? Two little grandchildren running real fast. Grandma! 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 Oh, she said, you've grown so much! That's something original to say, you know. You've grown so much! And here was her daughter running down me down the hallway. Mama! 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 And it was awful hard at O'Hara Field to say goodbye to her husband, but it was the sting was taken away because at the other end there were some people there. Oh, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Sure, she cried at O'Hara Field. There's nothing wrong with you when you die. Mama says goodbye, Erlene and me, some of these days. You'll probably outlive both of us. But the wicked never die young anyhow, you know. And so, but she says goodbye. She says, goodbye, son. Goodbye, Erlene. And of course, we'll miss her for a few days, and I hope she'll miss us. But as soon as she gets off the plane when at her destination, she'll say, oh, Lorene, my little afflicted girl. Lorene, you're running. You're walking. You're talking. And Hazel, oh, Hazel, haven't seen you in all these years. And hello, Daddy, and hello, Mama. You think that's bad? Huh? You think that's bad? Ah, listen, let me help you this morning by the Word of God and the blessed truth that there are people on the other side, real, literal, loved ones and friends who will welcome us when we go. I'll be going tomorrow morning and speaking tomorrow night in Rochester, Michigan. The last time I was in Rochester, Michigan, I shared the pulpit with Dr. Beecham Vick. Dr. Vick, one of my heroes. I've known him for years and shared pulpits across America with him for many, many years. One of the finest preachers, most influential. At one time, he pastored the largest church in the world. I used to look up to him as one of my heroes. Dr. Vick shared the pulpit with me, I think it was 2 years ago at Rochester, Michigan, last time I was there. He preached on Tuesday. He preached Monday night before me, and I preached the closing message. On Tuesday night, he preached the first message again, and I brought the closing message. And Dr. Vick's a great leader, and he's a better than average preacher. But I wouldn't say he was a great orator. Oh, but that night, Brother John, he preached on heaven that night. I've never heard Dr. Vick preach like that. Never in my life. Never were the streets more golden. And never was the river of life purer. And never was the tree of life, was the fruit of the tree of life any sweeter. And never was Jesus any more wonderful. I never heard Dr. Vick preach like that. I sat back there with my mouth open. I couldn't believe what I heard. I walked up on the platform to speak. He walked down, tears rolling down his cheeks. And I said, Dr. Vick, never heard you preach like I did tonight. That's the best sermon I ever heard you preach. Just a few days passed. That was the last sermon he ever preached. A few days passed. I was out in Rock Springs, Wyoming. I got back to my room. The little light was flashing in the motel room. I called Miss McKinney. They said, call me, Secretary Miss McKinney. I called Miss McKinney, and she said, Brother Hiles, they just called from Springfield Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, to tell you that Dr. Vick passed away a while ago. No wonder he preached so well that night. He was seeing heaven. No wonder the streets were the golden streets were more gold. He was looking at them. He was realizing that in a few days, no doubt, or a few hours, I'm going to go to heaven. And it was dearer and sweeter than it ever was before. Isaac Watts said, his maker kissed his soul away and laid his flesh to rest. Tennyson said in his In Memoriam, when on the death of his dear preacher friend, he said, God's finger touched him and he slept. I'm saying, if you want to lose the sting of death, and if you want to flee the fear of death, realize that the moment that you're gone, the moment that you're gone, you'll see the face of Jesus. And the moment you're gone, you'll see your dear loved ones. There's a second thing I think that'll take away the sting of death, and that is look on it as an experience, as an exciting trip you're going to take, like that first airplane ride. You're afraid to take it, and you go out that little insurance counter out there. I never think about the insurance counter, but the first airplane ride, I went to every one of those counters out there and took a policy out on. I just knew the chances are 50-50. I'd never get back, you know. But I wanted to take it. That first flight. Oh, I was a paratrooper. That first jump, man, I couldn't wait till that first jump. I packed my own parachute and stood up in the air. I was afraid to jump. Afraid of nothing. I was scared to death to jump. I was afraid, but I wouldn't miss it for the world. And of course I don't want to die. I like this old body. It's the strongest body in the whole world that I've ever had. I like it, and I wouldn't trade it for yours. I dead sure wouldn't trade it for yours, but I like it, and I hate to see it I hate to leave it. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There is a glorious, marvelous, unbelievable experience awaiting all of God's people the minute that they leave this old world. Somebody asked General Arnold one time, they said, General, what is the greatest experience you've ever had and all the battles you fought, all the victories you've won, what is the greatest experience you've ever had? General Arnold said, it hasn't happened yet. And they said, what do you mean? He said, my greatest experience hasn't happened yet. They said, what is it? What will it be? He said, 5 minutes after I die. He said, I just can't wait to see what happens. The first 5 minutes after I die. Sir Oliver Lodge said, death is not a foe, but an inevitable adventure. I think about that old man you've heard me tell about so often, James W. Moore, that when he died, looked up at me and said, Brother Jack, I'm about to take a wonderful trip. I've been looking forward to it for years. I'm going to see Elijah and Abraham and Jacob and John the Baptist and Moses and all those fellows. I want to see Jesus. That's the way you all look at death. You say, Brother House, as far as you know, you're pretty well. You haven't got terminal cancer. Who knows? Who knows if this is the last one? Who knows? Who knows if somebody won't say out yonder sometime, Dr. Howes, Brother Howes preached a sermon on death. I don't expect I'm going to die real soon. I've got a lot of things I want to do. But I want to tell you something, folks. Listen to me carefully. Don't you come by and look at my body and say I'm dead. Don't you do it. I'll be looking down on you. Yeah. I'll be attending my own funeral. Yeah. I'll be having the time of my life. What are you going to be doing? I don't know. Expect I'll be preaching 2 or 3 hours, and I can't even one thing. It's going to be an experience. Spurgeon said, "What will be the sensation of the first hour in heaven?" And Spurgeon said, "The greatest sensation of the first hour I spend in heaven is this: it won't have to end." It won't last just an hour. It won't last just a day. It won't last just a week. It won't last just a month. It won't last just a year. Finally, he said, death will be dead, and pain will be dead, and sorrow will be dead, and suffering will be dead, and separation will be dead, and cancer will be dead, and heartache will be dead, and broken air castles will be dead, and weeping will be dead, and fear will be dead. And all the things that die with me will make it worth it. I'll never worry again about death. Never again. What an experience. Death is not an execution, but a great deliverance. It's the snapping of the cable that lets the ship go out to sea on its own. Death is the breaking of the shell. Death is the severing of the chain that causes the eagle to lift its wings and fly and do the thing for which it was made. Oh, let me tell you something. If you have a loved one that's gone on, and they trusted Jesus, they were God's children, don't you be afraid. Don't you go out the grave and stand out the grave and say, oh, my dear husband. No. You go out the grave and tap your hands and jump up and down and say, hallelujah, this is not my husband. He's in heaven with Jesus. And one day this body shall rise and be re-inhabited by his spirit. There's a third thing. Quickly, please listen carefully. This is something I love to stress. Realize that when you die, you're going to a real place. A real place. Mayor, tell you what I think. I think that heaven is a planet. I think that heaven is... You know, scientists tell us that there's an empty place in the planetary system. In the north, there's a great void there. And they say... it's empty. No planets there. I think that's where heaven, way out yonder past that, I think there's a big planet somewhere. I think heaven is there. I think all of God's people, when they die, I think they go there. Scientists said that they look up at the big powerful telescopes and they say, sometimes from that dark spot there's a flash of light. And nobody can explain. They have no planets there. They can't see any worlds up there. But sometime in that darkness is a flash of light. I know why. I know why. Because God has to open the door to let saints in every once in a while. And there's a flash of light. Mayor, I believe that the UFOs are real. I think the UFOs are ships that come from heaven, and God's people are coming to watch over us down here with all my soul. Look, the Bible says heaven has streets. Won't ever have to be repaired. I want to talk to you about this block on Cain, if I have time, before you leave here. But No repairs on the street. Bible says heaven has horses. And they don't mess up the street. And Bible says heaven has a river. And it has fruit. And it has trees. When I'm gone, don't you think of me as floating around up there? Sort of constantly, like the seagulls, just floating around. Not me. I'm going to be living in a real house, as real as that piece of wood is right there. I'm going to have a real body, just as real and touchable as that body is right there. And I'm going to live in a real city. I wrote a poem one time. I was going to read it this morning, but you'll be glad to know I left it in my office. Forgot it. But in that poem, I say heaven's just down the road. Another town down the road. Yeah. The fourth thing I want to say is, if you want to take the fear of death away, don't get too attached down here. Don't get too attached down here. Cicero said, I depart from life as from an inn and not as from my home. I like that. I depart from life as from an inn and not as from my home. Hold very loosely everything on earth. Do not cling closely to possessions. They make it hard to die. Do not build your nest here. Have little to leave and send a lot ahead. You know, Brother John, I hate to leave home on Monday. I hate to leave Hammond. I hate to leave the area. This is my area. This is where my loved ones and friends are. I hate to leave. Brother John, when time comes on Wednesday morning, I get up. And every Wednesday morning, I say, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. 2 days I get up like that, when it's Sunday and when it's Wednesday. When I wake up, it takes me about an hour usually to find out what day it is, you know. I wake up and say, first I figure out, who am I? Let me just check and see. And then where am I? And what day is this? And all of a sudden it dawns on, it's Sunday! Woo! It's Sunday. And then Wednesday is my second favorite. That's the day I get to go back home. And I don't look at that motel room bed and say, oh, bed, sure ain't leave you. I don't go look at that closet and say, I hate to leave that closet. I don't look at that bedroom chest of drawers. Oh, I hate to leave you. Goodbye, Mira. Oh, I don't mind. Reckon maybe if you looked at earth like a motel instead of like a dwelling place. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Don't get too attached down here, folks. Don't get too tied to things down here. They're temporal. The car you drive, it'll be traded in for a new one. The house you live in, somebody else will live in it. The wife you got, somebody else will marry her when you're gone. Don't get too attached to things down here. Don't get too attached to clothing and houses and lands and money and stocks and bonds. Look upon this world as being a motel. Joseph Jefferson said, and I love this, Jefferson said, we are but tenants, and shortly the great landlord will give us notice that our lease has expired. That's all death is. That's all it is. The landlord's going to come and say, your lease has expired. You got to move out. And may I say this in closing? Number 5, arrange to serve God after you're gone. Thomas Campbell said, to live in hearts we leave behind is not to die. To live in hearts we leave behind is not to die. Do you know, Brother Moffatiah, I'm not going to die. I got hundreds of thousands of tapes that will be played after I'm gone. I got over 6 million books books that have been sold now around the world. I'll still be preaching and teaching after I'm gone. I've got hundreds of preacher boys, men pastoring churches whom I've pastored. I've invested my life all these years in those who are following after me. And so, I'm going to serve God after I'm gone. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. You've never heard a preacher say this in your life before, I don't think. And I'm not sure I can prove this with the Bible, but I believe it with all my heart. I believe that when we get to heaven, we will not stop providing for our loved ones. Listen carefully. We fret because maybe we don't have enough insurance, or because we're going to leave our children not cared for properly, or our wives not cared for properly. I believe with all my heart we get to heaven, we're going to keep providing. Now look. When a person gets saved, God gives that person an angel. It's called his guardian angel. When we die, the guardian angel is going to go to heaven, and I can't wait to see what my guardian angel looks like. But don't you think that my loved ones back on earth, don't you think I'm going to send my angel down and say, take them some sandwiches? I think so. I believe we'll care for our loved ones. Yet to some, I can't offer any hope to you. The Bible says, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But if you live and don't believe in Christ, I can't offer you any hope. Not a single thing I've said affects you. Somebody, George Eliot said, worldly faces never look so worldly as at a funeral. That's right, isn't it? Worldly faces never look so worldly as at a funeral. Worldly faces, I see them. They sit in this room and they stare at the face of that loved one or friend, and they almost tremble as they do, and they get that hard, ashen look on their faces, and they don't want to hear the preacher. They don't want to face reality. But blessed be God, if you live and believe in Christ, you shall never die. You don't have to die if you don't want to. You don't have to. In this room this morning, there's a lady visiting who's very dear to our church. A very close loved one to one of our families who's very, very vital. They're here visiting in this distant state. She's been wrestling with the enemy of cancer for so long. And I'm sure she's gone to bed many a night and wondered, oh, beloved, 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 there is a land that is fairer than day. Those of you who are here this morning, my dear, precious members, and you're facing terminal cancer or some other disease that human beings say is terminal, of course you don't want to leave. You want to see what's going to happen here next year and how far in debt we're going to go next year. I understand that. But don't you fret. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Jesus. In his Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, he said. I go and prepare a place for you. You dear senior citizens, afraid to die. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The sting of death is gone. Jesus died, and death lost his stinger in Jesus. And you won't have to die. It's just moving to a new town. I wish I could sing right now. I'd love to sing. Oh, they tell me of a land far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a place where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a land where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of a land of the unclouded day. I can hear the little church sing it when I was a boy. I can hear the pastor start. He could sing about like I could, but he had more courage than I had. I can hear him as they sing, start singing the unclouded day. And I can hear him as they sing, and old Sister Johnson sat over here on the corner. Old white-haired Sister Johnson, the pastor would say, let's sing together now. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And all the folks would, and Miss Johnson would come unscrewed. Oh, she'd come unscrewed. And she'd get up and start waving her hands and shouting, Lord, praise the Lord. Listen, If there's one single thing God's people ought to sing Hosanna about, if there's one single thing that ought to make the most reserved person here clap his holy hands and say, Hallelujah! That is this! That last, bitterest, hardest, blackest enemy that we have has lost his stinger when Jesus was stung by him. So I say to you this morning in closing, I hope I can deliver you who through fear of death were all of your life.